Our call to worship tonight comes from Psalm 108. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all of my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of your love to the people. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. The night is departing. The day is approaching. So hear God's words of greeting to you this evening. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ through the mighty and present work of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to this evening's service at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. We come into this place mindful of all the things that we carry in with us. Some things are good and joyful. Some things are harder and difficult. And we bring those all before our Lord together tonight. This evening, we're so glad to welcome Reverend Ruth Boven to LaGrave's pulpit. Ruth, it was a joy to work with you for many years and such a joy to get to partner with you again tonight as you bring God's word to us. So thank you for this time with us today. The Bible passage and sermon that Ruth will be preaching from Romans 13 have to do with the approaching day. In our time of electricity, I often think of light being a power that's harnessed by us people. With a flick of a switch, we turn it on, we turn it off. So as you hear this passage from Isaiah chapter 60, think about what the coming of light means for a pre-industrial people. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises on you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. You will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord himself will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again. Your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Stand and join our hearts in our confession from the contemporary testimony, Our World Belongs to God. We say together with one voice, our hope for a new creation is not tied to what humans can do, for we believe that one day every challenge to God's rule will be crushed. His kingdom will fully come, and the Lord will rule. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We long for that day when our bodies are raised, the Lord wipes away our tears, and we dwell forever in the presence of God. We will take our place in the new creation, where there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, and the Lord will be our light. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We will try that new hymn again when we have the right hymnal listed. Thank you for muddling along with us there. Let's go before the Lord together in prayer. In the morning when we rise to you, Jesus. And in the evening when we lie down and rest, it is you, Lord, who make us dwell in safety. As we go about our days as your people, we can face opposing dangers of despairing cynicism or an over-realized triumphalism. So deliver us from these twin temptations. Steady our humble footsteps in the way of peace and the path of hope. Peace and hope sound to our ears like gentle virtues. But truth be told, great strength, Holy Spirited strength, is needed for us to know, Lord, when should we stay quiet? When should we speak up? When is it time to hold on? When is it time to let go? When is it time to plant? When is it time to uproot? There is a season for every activity under heaven, and it is in your strength and your leading that we live out our days. In our families and workplaces, Lord, key friendships and relationships, churches and neighborhoods, Would you teach us together the way of the three virtues that endure? Faith, hope, and love. We get glimpses of your coming kingdom here and now, Lord. And yet we also wait for it as those who welcome it gladly from a distance. We Advent people lean toward the things that are promised. Make those promises bright in this community. This morning we prayed for our world, and tonight we will pray more specifically for those in this congregation whose needs are known to us. Whisper your love, Lord, to those among us receiving hospice services, including Dick Ortega, Bob Vanderlei, and Bob and Alice Vandertine. Be near their families and their friends as they walk alongside these loved ones. Many who are known to us and many also unnamed are journeying through the shadow of cancer management or active treatment. So for Tom Dutler and Ed Hooksema, Jim Kroll and Renee Kuiper, Anita McDonald and Sharon Van Houten, Barb Voskel, Hank Witte, and Joyce Weirs. Be near, Lord. Minimize side effects of their treatment and maximize treatment effectiveness. Give each one hope and strength, living a day at a time as they make choices about their activities and their energy. When it might be natural for them to feel as if you have turned away from them, bring an abiding awareness of your care. Be for them the great physician who is also their dearest friend. Support also the family members of this church with ongoing health needs. Barb Berman, Sandy Buter, Sandra Destremps, Rich Postma, Jim Vandenberg, and Millie Vrend. Heal those recovering after surgery. Bring endurance to those who face chronic conditions. Strengthen our hands, Lord, to reach out, our hearts to love, our minds to discern, our wills to act faithfully in the days that you have set aside for each of us. Take us by the hand, gentle shepherd. Remind us that the things you have planned for your kingdom are beyond our imagining. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is so good to be here with you. I'm appreciative of the invitation to be with you and to open God's Word with you. We're going to be reading this evening from Romans 13. I'll be reading verses 8 through 14. So I invite you to turn to that now, Romans 13, 8 through 14. And before I read, I'll invite you to pray with me. Let's pray. God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so may your word this evening take root in our heart, and may your light shine on it so that it may bear fruit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 13, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, and these next two verses are my text, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. My dad was an early riser. It seemed to be in his DNA. He liked to be at the job site on the bulldozer by 7 a.m. if at all possible. Now, Dad's internal clock was programmed early in life. He grew up on a farm in northern Michigan, where barns bustled with feeding and milking activity long before the sun poked up over the cornfields. Utilizing well those early morning hours to the fullest were critical to the ongoing success of any cattle or dairy farm in those days, likely still is. Well, knowing how much my dad enjoyed food, I sometimes try to imagine how he must have longed for that sliver of sunlight to cut through the darkness and crest the horizon. For with a hint of the light of day would come not only a brief rest from labor, but also bacon and eggs and home-baked bread or biscuits, butter, jam made from strawberries grown on the farm. With the promise of a rising sun would come the life-nourishing goodness of some of the best things that labor-intensive farming had to offer. With the dawning day would come a time of refreshment, a time to gather around a table together, to be strengthened, and to give thanks to God before the day in its fullness arrived. Perhaps you too, in some way, long for a new day. I know I do. The Apostle Paul did too. A little background to Paul's words to us this evening. You see, in the first 11 chapters of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he lays out a grand theological discourse for Roman believers, living with both national and internal challenges. And Paul was anchoring their hope. In the early part of the letter, he does a lot of macro-level thinking about God and Christ and the Spirit and salvation and faith. He concludes his theological dissertation with words of awe and doxology at the end of chapter 11. He declares the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, and says that from God and to God and through God are all things, and all the glory belongs to God. And then in chapter 12, Paul shrinks his scope. He turns his gaze on us. His focus becomes, in light of who God is and what God has done, how then shall we live? How do we live in a way well suited to these hopeful, light-filled truths about God? How do we carry the light of God into a dark world? Paul believes the central way we do that is to live a life of love. all the commandments are summed up in a single phrase, says Paul, and Jesus too. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then Paul adds, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Wake up from your slumber. Do you hear Paul ringing an alarm? We're going to ask three questions tonight to help us pay attention to that alarm. The first question is this: what time is it? It's important to know, because the answer to that question has everything to do with what you will do with the week ahead of you, what you will do with the life ahead of you. What time is it? Well, Paul says we live just before dawn. You know, though we've gathered here at La Grave this evening with a lot of the daylight still lingering, in the biblical framework of time, it is still night. There is still darkness all around us. We know this well, don't we? We live in a time when anxiety, depression, mental illness, death by suicide are all on the rise in society, especially among young people, and particularly among young people wrestling with questions of identity. My guess is we also all have folks in our lives and in our circles of all ages carrying all kinds of emotional wounds and pain for a whole variety of reasons. And our own hearts are understandably shadowed by such things. We worry for those we love. We worry for a globe that is both warring and warming. We worry over a polarized nation and a fractured denomination. I worry over darkness in my own heart and my own seeming incapacity to love as I should, especially those I find difficult to love. What it makes me realize is that Paul certainly locates us in the right place. It is clearly still nighttime. But thanks be to God, friends, that is not the end of the story. Paul says more than that. He says that though we live in darkness, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The Bible gives us some beautiful pictures of what a new day may look like. Scripture teaches us that a day is coming when that dark cloud of evil shrouding our world will be vanished. The prophet Isaiah says that in that day, no more will there be heard in the land the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. Children will grow up. The elderly will be cared for. People shall have houses to live in and gardens from which to gather food. There will be work to do and time for singing. And none shall hurt or destroy in all God's holy domain. That day is not here, but it is coming. We are moving toward it. And as we do, here's the second question to ask ourselves. Why is it so important to pay attention to the time? In Thornton Wilder's play, Our Town, a young woman named Emily dies at the age of 26. She asks the stage manager narrating the play if she can return for a brief visit with her family. He grants her her wish. She chooses to return on her 12th birthday, only to find her father obsessed with his business problems and her mother preoccupied with all of her varied duties. Emily eventually exclaims, "Oh, Mama, just look at me 1 minute, as though you really saw me. 14 years have gone by. I'm dead." Unable to rouse her parents, Emily breaks down sobbing. "We don't have time to even look at one another. Oh, do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every minute?" Why is it so important to know the time? Well, because we are not always so good at attending to the important things in life. Paul knows how easily distracted we are. He knows how quickly we can get caught up in a life of majoring in the minors instead of using our hearts and souls and minds and time to love, to lean into, to love toward Scripture's vision of healing and hope for all people. The vision of light that pierces darkness and of an invitation to a table with plenty of food and singing. I used to complain to a friend of mine about how busy I was. She gave me a book to read called The Tyranny of the Urgent. She said it had helped her to be more aware of the many things in her life that wore the facade of being urgent and then stole her focus away from what was most important. I'm embarrassed to say, I still haven't read it. Why is it important to know what time it is? Because life is so very precious and also stunningly fleeting. And here's another reason. When we know the dawn is near, we search for it earnestly. And when we see signs of the coming light, it gives us hope. God in grace has already given the world a sign, a glimpse of the day that is coming. Isaiah declared that people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that light came into the world wearing our flesh and demonstrated a cross-shaped, relentless, pursuing love that found out you and me. It's a love stronger than any power, even death. It's a love that takes hold of you and will not let you go. It's the love of God shown to you, given to you, instilled in you through Jesus Christ. Notice Paul does not say, "Grit your teeth and love." No, Paul says, "This is how you love. You put on Christ. You put on Christ's armor of light. The the light and the love of Christ are given to you as gifts to cherish and to carry into the world with the time you're given here on earth. Bishop Michael Curry, in his sermon at Harry and Meghan's royal wedding in 2018, challenged the listeners to use their imagination when it came to bearing light to the world. He said, in part, imagine our homes and families where love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce where love is the way. When love is the way, poverty will be history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all God's children. Knowing what time it is helps us lean into the power of love and the power of hope. I read something recently about the German theologian Hürgen Moltmann, who died earlier this summer, by the way, at 93. Moltmann had fought as a soldier for Germany in World War II. But when the moral rot of the Third Reich was exposed, and he saw it for what it was, Moltmann felt inconsolable grief. He surrendered immediately. And he spent the next 3 years in prison camps in Belgium, Scotland, and England. Moltmann had no religious background. He had brought two books with him into battle, a collection of poems and the works of Nietzsche, neither of which nourished much hope. But an American chaplain gave him an army-issue New Testament and Psalms. If I make my bed in the depths, thou art there, the prisoner read. Could God be present in this dark place? As he read on, Moltmann became convinced that God was present, even behind the barbed wire. No, most of all, behind the barbed wire. Well, upon release, Moltmann began to articulate his famous theology of hope. Humanity exists, he concluded, in a state of contradiction between the cross and the resurrection. Surrounded by evil and decay, we nonetheless hope for restoration. And it's a hope illuminated by the foreglow of Christ's resurrection. Moltmann famously said, God weeps with us so that we may someday laugh with him. So, friends, finally, how do we love well in the time we have? Moltmann mentioned three things that lifted the darkness and shined the light of hope. One, a cherry tree blossoming in the prison camp. Two, the humanity and kindness of the Scottish prison camp workers. And three, the Bible he received from that chaplain. These three things, he said, convinced me to love again. Maybe those three things can help us too. Perhaps we may be inspired to love well while we have the time by, first, appreciating and giving thanks for the beauty and variety and creativity with which God has created this amazing world and everything and everyone in it. Second, by paying good attention to the image of God in others, no matter who they are, with kindness and mercy and generosity. Finally, let's keep the gospel's main thing the main thing. And the main thing is love. For the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, keep us awake and help us to love with the Spirit's leading. And in Jesus' name, amen. Friends, receive the blessing of your God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore.
Amen.